Welcome to the Team TB 813 podcast, which is associated with Team TB 813, which you can follow us on Twitter at that handle, and also be sure to check out team813.com, which covers all of your Rays, Buccaneers, and Bolts news.
Welcome to the Team Tampa Bay 813 podcast, and this is your host John Miles, and today we're going to be joined by Ozzy the Sports Junkie. What's going on, man?
What do you say, brother? Nice to talk to you, man. Thanks for having me on.
Not a problem. All right, let's get into it a little bit. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself and what you do for the Tampa Bay area, media-wise.
Well, I irritate, I inflame, I infect, I get people all riled up. That seems to be my latest genre. No, but I've been grinding it for about 20 plus years in the Sarasota Bradenton market. I had a very successful nighttime show for about a 15-year run on three or four different stations here. And I've done some stuff for the ESPN radio as a stringer, and I currently chime in on the Bucks as a correspondent for CBS Sports Radio, among others. The exciting thing this season is I partnered up with my friends who started Joe Bucks Fan 15 years ago. I was the first one to put him on the air, and I sat back and watched these guys just explode into the basically the source that you go to when you want Bucks information 24/7. And I've got a podcast on Joe Bucks Fan, and that's really kind of elevated me, and it got my juices flowing again, obviously, to talk Bucks football. I'm always excited to talk Bucks football, but this season more than ever. And boy, I mean, win, lose, or draw, Buck fans are always trigger finger for, you know, a conversation, if not an argument. But the Winston quarterback situation, it's really kind of bizarre, and it's kind of what propelled me to reach out to the Joe Buck fan guys. And I never really seen anything like it, man. I've seen teams or players on teams that there's debate over, you know, this guy should be starting pitching this game, this guy should be a middle reliever, this guy should be a quarterback, back, or this guy should be, but I've never seen a player divide a fan base to the extent where half the base thinks he's the greatest quarterback ever in team history and one of the top in, you heard Jason Light say he thought last year's offense was one of the top in NFL history. Well, that's unusual for a team that won five games, but it's the most bizarre thing I've ever seen, and it's not going to end anytime soon. And I went into this season with a wide open opinion of Jameis. I don't care. Everybody wants to talk about his off-field things. Sure, he did some stupid things. We all have. You wouldn't want to see my track record, buddy. I wouldn't be able to be a dog catcher. But I think he's grown up as a person. I just don't think you're going to see the quarterback develop into the guy that's going to take us to the playoffs every year. And that's my concern as a Bucs fan. I want to get back in the playoffs. I want to be over 500. I want to have primetime games instead of looking at Fire Marshal Bill Dick Stockton in a useless 1 o'clock game against, well, horrible football teams and there's never such thing as a meaningless win. I really think the last couple have been meaningful, and tomorrow would go a long way in setting this thing straight. I think Bruce Arians, he's towed the company line. He's never dealt with adversity like this. You or I could come in and be a quarterback coach for Ben Roethlisberger, for Peyton Manning, for Luck in Indianapolis, and Carson Palmer. He was fortunate in being handed some Hall of Fame quarterbacks. I don't think he ever dealt with anything like Jameis. And he said it best himself, and now he's backed off a little bit on that. But midweek he said, I'll evaluate him at the end of the season. That wasn't the fresh take. The fresh take he delved out was, I've seen a lot of bad. I've seen a lot of good, but I've seen a lot of bad out of Jameis. And, well, there's four games left, and we'll make a decision after that. Personally, I think they bring in a veteran. I think he might be currently in Carolina on the bench getting his foot surgically repaired. That would be my guess. And I'll take a draft pick as well. And then you can see the quarterback whisperer with his own guys. Generally, a coach will bring their own quarterback in anyways, but that's my two cents on it. I could be wrong, but then again, I was the idiot 2 years ago who said, you know, Teddy Bridgewater's out there. Why wouldn't the Bucks look at him? I was told, sit down, shut up, get back in your corner. You know nothing about football. Okay, so I did that. Last year, I said, you know, that quarterback down in Miami, Tannehill, he's played with some shit teams down there. Why not bring him in? Be a decent backup. What if Jameis breaks an ankle? I mean, injuries happen. I don't know if you checked the transaction of the news column. Every week, it's just loaded. And as you know, guys go down in football every week, every game. You got to have somebody, an NFL-competent quarterback. I thought Tannehill would have been a good look. And again, told he's a loser. You're a loser. I thought I told you to sit down and shut up. And you see what Tannehill's doing in
Tennessee.
He's going to get a long-term deal. And he looks like the quarterback coming out of college that the Dolphins thought they had. So nothing personal. People want to get all sensitive. But it's anything personal. It's racial. It's nothing about that. I was the biggest Josh Freeman guy ever until he wound up, getting carried out of strip bars at 4 a.m. on Dale Mabry with three strippers knocked up. So I'm all for anybody who helps his team win. Can Jameis get us to the promised land? As a Bucks fan, I don't have another 5 years to wait, buddy. I don't have 5 years to wait, and 5 years would be another coach, and that would be the fourth set of coaches. And I don't know if you've ever played golf, but the worst thing you could possibly do is have somebody give you some advice, and then another guy gives you advice. And then as you head out to the links, and the range guy gives you a little tip, and then you have so many voices in your head, you forgot how to swing in the first place. And I think that's a lot of Winston's problem, is he's going through so many coaches that, you forgot how you got there in the first place. You got to play like it's their backyard, and you're just going balls out to win the game. And I think that's what separates guys who are great or good in college, great in college, to take it to the next level. You know, I guarantee you Tom Brady, he's kind of a rare example, but the elite quarterbacks, the elite players in any sport, you don't have any voice in your head except your own, and you know how to get it done. So I'm not done completely. He's got four games. If he blows the roof off tomorrow and the rest of the way on the season, he'll get a one-year salary out of the Buccaneers as a franchise cap. But then you got to look at Shaq Barrett, who very well could break and set the new Buccaneers single-season sack record. He's going to do it before the season. It might happen tomorrow. Warren Sapp will be on hand. If it does happen, he's all for it. She's going to want a little bit of a raise. So you're going to have a problem there. If you spend $27 million locked into a quarterback that's still kind of a project, you're going to let your all-time sack leader go. So the Bucs have a lot of decisions to make.
Yeah. And speaking on that, there was something to come out recently this week where he was asked by somebody in the locker room, and he said that he wants to stay. And even our good buddy Mark Cook was on another podcast this last week and even said that there's almost 99% chance he's going to be back and he would be willing to give a discount. So, that tells you what kind of, what Shaq Barrett thinks, that he wants to be here. So there's no doubt about it.
Shaq Barrett, mind, of course.
There's no doubt he'll be back.
I mean, it's that people don't say it just to hear themselves talk. Defense wins championships, and we saw the Bucks win a Super Bowl based on a defense. I don't think anybody ever sits around the bar or sits around Sunday afternoon with their boys saying, boy, remember that vicious Bucks offense when we won the Super Bowl? No, no one remembers the offense. Sure, Brad Johnson got it done. He was a serviceable quarterback. Michael Pittman, running back. They had some flashy wide receivers. And, of course, Allstott and Keyshawn Jervicious. But no one talks about that Bucks offense. It was the Bucks defense that won the Super Bowl. They sealed the deal with the Derrick Brooks pick, and the MVP was a defensive player with two interceptions for touchdowns, and they go down as one of the top 10 ever. And I go back 35 years of being a Bucks fan, sitting in the old sombrero. And even in their worst days, even in the nastiest days of Sam Weish, the early Dungy years, before Weish, Williamson, Ray Perkins, they might have sucked. But they always had a vicious, hard-hitting defense that nobody took for granted when they came to play the Bucks. And that's the thing. People want to say, the same old Bucks, same old Bucks. They got off to a horrible start this season. That's really not an untrue statement. Because with the salary cap, they're not the same old Bucks. The same old Bucks were the cheapest team in the league that put the check they got, the revenue sharing from the league, and it went in Culver House's bank account. They can't do that anymore. That money's got to be spent on the field. There's a salary cap and there's a salary floor. And I hate to break people's dreams that their entire offensive line is bummed. Sure, they've been a sieve at times this year, but other times they've played okay. They're the highest paid offensive line man for man in the league, which is absolutely ridiculous when you think about it. But they're continually one of the highest spending teams in the offseason and free agency. I guess that goes back to who the hell's making the decisions. Jason Light has been crucified. For my money, sure, he's an easy guy. He's an easy target. When you draft 8 defensive backs and they all suck, how do you even defend that? And how do you defend the kicking situation that was a complete debacle, taking the second-round kicker? That's all done. I think the only guy still remains to be seen is Winston, and he was the biggest pick they've had, the number one overall. That'll play itself out. Either gets another year or he's gone. And if he gets another year and he shines, well, then he'll be here for 4 or 5. But I think he takes it long, buddy. Could you give a guy? He's going to be 27, 28 years old. I don't think they could. There's no way you'd go past about 5 years with him. I think if he really wants to stay in Tampa, he's going to get about 27 based on other quarterbacks of his numbers, based on the gaudy yards. You know, and he does move the ball. Say what you want about him. He gets the ball downfield. A lot of times it's overthrown, underthrown, or thrown at the other team. But he racks up the yards. If you're a fantasy football geek, you like Jameis Winston because he gets the ball downfield. There's no debating that. It's just his accuracy of passes and the thinking behind a lot of them. That's what the problem is. You cannot turn the ball over. He was averaging an interception and a half earlier in the season. I mean, that's 10 points. Well, 16 points if you want to count it as 2 scores, or at least 10 points. You cannot spot the other team 10 points and win in any league, let alone the NFL. So,
yeah,
it'll all be played out on the field. That's what the beauty of it is. And I don't believe for 1 second, you know, I made a mention yesterday when Arians backed off his statement a little bit about he sees a lot of horrible in Winston, that, you know, there's a promo picture of him when he first hit town and signed with the Bucks over there at the casino where I was at. And he's sitting in front of a huge pile of chips, and I know he's a poker player. So that tells me one thing. Don't believe anything he says. Everything that is said to the media is just for that purpose. I saw Testaverde, Dilfert, Freeman were all cut, and they were all supported right up into the second that they were shown the door. So I believe everything I say, and then I believe nothing I hear.
Yeah.
Something all like right. that.
All right. Well, before we get on to –
what's your thoughts on it? I'd be curious. You think Winston could take this team to the promised land? I really don't see where we'd be more than about a 6-win team. And as a Bucks fan, I'm sick of it, dude. I am sick and tired. And it's not all his fault. He doesn't play defense. He doesn't run the ball. He doesn't pass protect. He doesn't catch the ball. But from where I'm sitting, he's got the 2 best receivers in football who, you know, God bless him, Mike Evans. If he doesn't get a lot of MVP votes this year, that'd have been a crime, because he's put this team on his back 3 or 4 times and single-handedly won games. And a lot of balls aren't the easiest thrown catches either. You know, he doesn't get hit a lot in stride. He gets hit and he gets creamed a lot of the times. And Jameis will throw him. Jameis has some beautiful throws to Godwin through the season. So, and Godwin's a guy who's come out of nowhere. That's a Jason Light guy. To get back on Light and close that point out, I think if Light is anything, he drafts some kind of late bloomers. Godwin and Evans are on his watch. Rojo, still kind of waiting. He's shown flashes. I think one of these days, maybe tomorrow, he breaks out. He's just on the verge of having a big 160-yard game. I mean, the guy was the most exciting player, according to Mel Kiper, coming out of college when he was drafted by the Bucks. And you saw nothing last year. Maybe he gets it done. Couple of linemen. Kappa's out now with an injury. But Marpet, you name a team in football that wouldn't take Ali Marpet. He rates as one of the top linemen in the league. I think they could use a new left tackle. Move Smith over to the other side. He is a guy who's an adequate left tackle, but when you have a quarterback who has issues getting rid of the ball quick, you got to have a door over there at left tackle to give him all the time in the world he needs. And I think that a move like that, and then DeMar Dotson, he's been a great Buccaneer, but he's 11 years in, and he looks like he's about 140 out there. So it's time for him to move along, and then you look at the defensive pass coverage, which was atrocious, but it's coming along. I mean, the game before last was 12 points allowed. going into the fourth quarter. They looked good last week, so maybe it's not all doom and gloom. I think a win tomorrow and get a game within 500, and that stadium's going to be rocking. I'm telling you, man, with three games left, all winnable against some crappy teams, they can beat Detroit. They can certainly take Houston, although that's going to be a challenge. And then they've already beat Atlanta once. What's going on there? I have no idea, but poor Dirk Cutter, I should say Dirk Cutter, needs to find another U-Haul and some friends to help him move because, well, once again, he'll be fired at the end of the season.
I wouldn't doubt that either, but the whole Winston thing for me, I just, at times I want to be done with him, but it's like everybody else is saying, it's just, you got to give him a chance because when Bruce Arians first came in, he said he was looking at year two, not year one.
Right.
There's always going to be growing pains in year one. So, I mean, see.
And again, if this was year one of his career, we wouldn't be having this conversation. I was fully supportive of Jameis in year one, and I thought I was impressed. I said, man, because it doesn't matter. There's very few guys who hit the ground running in the NFL year one. Maybe Marino, I mean, comes to mind. They all throw horrible picks. They all lead the league in interceptions. But by year two, midway through year two, by year three, they get it. And the turnovers turn into interceptions, turn into wins, turn into playoff appearances. And we're not seeing that. And in reality, we're seeing the numbers get bigger. Sure, he gets the gaudy stats. But how much of that is because they're down by three scores every week?
Yeah. So,
I'm ready to be done with it, buddy. I'm ready to talk about the Bucs defense. And the quarterback situation will settle itself, as far as I'm concerned. I'd like to see somebody else back there, a fresh breath of fresh air for myself and Buccaneer Nation, because, boy, it's just a stale argument, man. And I'm sick of it's like arguing politics. You're not going to change anybody's mind, and nobody's going to change your mind, no matter what happens on the field. So it's very frustrating. That's why I said it's one of the most oddest things I've ever seen covering sports.
Yeah. All right, a little bit before we move on to the next subject. Go ahead and what do you think is going to happen for the rest of the year? I mean, where would you be happy for going into next year?
Well, obviously, you'd like to win the rest of the games. That's a little unrealistic. I don't think so. I mean, who the hell are the Texans? If we put Deshaun Watson on the ground and shut down that offense, I don't think they're anything to be that horribly afraid of. The Colts sure as hell don't scare me tomorrow. I think the Bucs are favored by 3 for a reason, because that's a toss-up game. Atlanta, no, there's no gimmies. I get a kick out of that, too. The people that will say, well, here we've got Miami on the schedule. We have the Jets. We have, you know, the Bengals. That's a win. There's no such thing. If you're a Buccaneer fan, you know well enough that they play up and they play down to their opponents. They'll give hell to the Patriots. Like 2 years ago, could have easily beaten the Patriots, short of 4 missed field goals by Nick Folk. And then the next week, they'll get blown out by, you know, God knows who. They'll get blown out by the Dolphins or the Jaguars or the Bengals. They're a very frustrating team. Having grown up in Chicago until I was about 14 years old, I suffered through some horrible sports years. And being a Cubs fan, well, it really doesn't get any worse than that. And I don't have to tell you that Cubs spelled backwards is Buck, because they are very similar. They won't just lose a game. They surgically remove your heart with a knife and no anesthesia. So, like I said, I'm sick of talking about our problems. I'd love to be talking about a Bucs postseason berth, maybe who we have in the first round of the playoffs, where you stay in for the playoff game, we're going on the road, you know, what winning teams and winning fans do, because we've been there. And to go there and fall off the mountain sucks. So I don't think we're that far off, though, man. I think there's a lot of talent there. And you look at that defensive line, they're having some fun out there. Vita Vea is a maniac. White, the middle linebacker they got from LSU, he looks better every week. I mean, the speed that, for a big guy, he's got incredible speed. So there's a lot of positives out there. I love the kicker, Matt Gay. I think they finally found themselves a kicker, hopefully moving forward for years to come.
All right, we'll go ahead and move on to the next thing. Talk a little of Tampa Bay Lightning. What's your take on this recent streak that's been going on this year in the slow start?
Well, I got to be honest with you. That gut shot from last season is one that I'm still a little sore from. To cruise, and when I say cruise, through the regular season, they were toying with people like a cat does with a mouse. When they're down 3-0 in Boston, a place where they normally get terrorized there. And I remember the confidence of saying, oh, they'll win tonight. They'll win by 2 goals. And they'd win by 2 goals. They were toying with people last year. And for whatever reason, I don't buy they forgot how to play defense. You don't go through an 80-game schedule, win 60, what, they win 62, 63 games, and then forget how to play defense. I said it then, and I hold tight to it. If Cooper had just not signed a new contract, I'd have fired his ass, because there's no excuses why you go 4-out to the Columbus Blue Jackets. It was one of the oddest things I've ever seen in my life, and I got to be honest, for the first time in, well, maybe my entire life, I didn't watch 1 second of playoff hockey because it made my stomach sick. I did watch the last 30 seconds to watch the Blues hoist their first cup. But other than that, so heading into this season, well, they're not the juggernaut so far, but it's such a long season, man. I mean, to be honest, there's so much going on with the World Series and football. I really can't focus 100% of my viewing time and effort into the Lightning or the NHL season until about now. You know, you lock down your weekend football, and now I have locked in on the Lightning, and we'd like to see them get a little bit of a winning ways. You'd like to see them get settled in for the turn of the year, because, like I said, every win is important, every game is important, but it's past the New Year's where you really start to lock in. And that's where they seem to have shined in the last year especially, man. Then we'd go in 11-game, 12-game runs. I was ready for a long, deep postseason run. And let's hope they can get back there again. The one thing, they're a young team. I mean, adding Shattenkirk has helped out a lot. So it'll remain to be seen. And I'll be very curious if this team maybe stays where they're at, around 500. God forbid they don't make the playoffs. Oof, what do you do then with John Cooper? I mean, contract or no contract, you got a real problem there. Let's hope we don't have to address that, because I think man for man, they're still the most talented team in the NHL.
Yeah, and with the schedule coming up, they got the Sharks, the Islanders, and then the Panthers coming up the next 3 games. So it's going to be a doozy. I mean, as of right now,
in years gone past, the Panthers would be a patsy. That damn Panther team. There's a reason they call them the stinking Panthers in Tampa Bay, because it doesn't matter if they're in first or last place. They're always a pain in the ass to play. I can't stand them, and I would say their fans don't like Tampa Bay, but they don't have any fans. The greatest story I've ever heard about the Florida Panthers is this. This was a live game on the road, mind you, about 7-8 years ago, that was actually outdrawn in viewers. Now, mind you, this is an NHL team. This isn't a minor league hockey team. It was outdrawn at 9:00 at night by a SpongeBob rerun on Nick at Night. So I don't have to tell you what that means about the hockey fans down there in Miami. They barely show up to Dolphin playoff games back in the day. They sure as hell don't show up to their brand new $1 billion Marlins stadium. So I guess it's the heat and nobody else. And from last I checked, Shaq and I guess Shaq didn't have the glory. LeBron James and Dwayne Wade are long gone. So
yeah,
that's my Miami take in an NHL sort of way. I guess for the Lightning, they'll just keep on getting better and hit your stride around February, March, get into the postseason, and anything's possible. They've ripped my heart out a few times. The year that they lost to Pittsburgh in the finals, I thought that year was the last year of Ben Bishop. They were by far the better team. They folded like an omelet. They went in against the Blackhawks, 1-1 in the finals, and just all the mojo, you could see it. I mean, like a hole in a gas can. So they've gotten that cup hoisted, but it sure would be sweet to get another one. But it's a long season, man. There's no longer season than hockey. I mean, it starts in summer and ends in summer. It's crazy. For my money, though, to be honest, since the thing goes till late June, let's face it, the Stanley Cup is finally hoisted in what, the last week of June? Push that bitch back a month. Start the NHL in November. And it'll be less congestion, because when you have the World Series going up against a, you know, season opener, to me, that's just, I can't, that's too valuable a viewing time to pass on a World Series game unless you got two TVs, which, of course, I'm sitting here in the Aussie Manor with the four flat screen setup. And I'll probably be here until time to peel my ass off this and go to Ray J tomorrow. Yeah. Or 1 o'clock tilt, but we'll see how that all pans out. What are your thoughts on the Lightning?
They still have a chance. I mean, looking at the standings and stuff, they're on four games out of the wild card or four spot. Sure. Or fourth spot. So, I mean, it's like it's not completely out of control. Excuse me. And then this time last year.
It'll be interesting.
This time last year, St. Louis was completely dead last in the NHL.
Yeah.
And the Lightning are still doing better than, and they won the cup. So, I mean, you can't necessarily jump on the Fire Cooper train just yet, but at the same time, I get it for those people who want to. I mean, well, the season's
the
still early.
And I'm a Cooper guy. I think he's brilliant. The guy has won at every level in very short time. If you've ever done any research about his career, really had no intention of coaching hockey. Took over his son's youth team, I guess, somewhere in Canada. Took him right to a championship. Took the next step up. I forget what it was. There's so many levels of hockey in Canada. It's ridiculous. But he, like an A, let's say a equivalent of a Class A team, year one championship. Went to Division II. Wound up getting hired by the Lightning. I think his first year in Syracuse, he won the championship there. His first year behind the bench in Tampa Bay, he had him in the finals. So this guy, his track record is just unprecedented, and I'd hate to lose him. I don't want to lose him. I hope he's here for years to come. But if anything you can say about the NHL, and that was the question I was going to pose to you, trades and coaching situations in the NHL, you will see more movement in the NHL. You name any top-tier coach, they've coached seven teams. So look at Tortorella since he's left here. He's slowly working his way through the entire league, and he'll be out of it, a la Mike Keenan. I guess he just stays long enough to piss people off and get fired. And I don't want to see that to happen to Cooper. I'd love to see him have about a 7-8 year run here. And I don't know, as a Tampa Bay diehard for the Bucks, Bolts, and Rays, boy, it seems like a million years ago that Super Bowl was raised above Gruden's head in 2003. A town and an area just starving for any kind of winner. It was fun to see the Rays get into the postseason. And boy, not to switch gears on you, how exciting is it? You know, I was up in the casino there in Tampa to see that the talks are back on to put that stadium in Ybor. I think Sternberg has gone around the world and saw, well, the best deal he's got is right there in downtown Tampa. He's got a built-in Disney World, if you will, for fans to go to after the game, and he can just print money. There's no free stadiums anywhere. He's got to cough up a little, but he's going to get a lot more in return. And if the Rays get that stadium deal done, I knew at the time that A, the deal was never done dead to begin with. B, the Montreal thing, that was a complete hoax. They've officially shot that thing down and put it to bed, because that was almost insulting as a baseball fan, because that would have never happened. No way baseball. They can propose whatever they want. Everything's got to be voted on by the owners and the teams and baseball in general. And baseball's not going to admit defeat in the 13th largest market in the U.S. It's not going to happen, and they're not going to have a half a team somewhere. That's just – it was goofy and stupid, and I'm glad that we never have to reference that again. And I think that Sternberg sees – all he's got to do is look across the – from the location of the new stadium where it's going to be. I'm just going to go ahead and say it's going to be. You can see the Ice Palace, and you can see what Vinick has done with hockey in downtown Tampa. You can't get a ticket, buddy, and you haven't been able to get a ticket for 5 years and haven't had an empty seat there for hockey. So imagine a baseball team, smaller stadium, maybe 30,000 tops, more intimate, tight little, and it already has a surrounding neighborhood. It's perfect. It's genius. It's a money-making waterfall. And Sternberg didn't become a billionaire by being stupid. So I don't hold it against him that he shopped around. Hey, you go around to a few car lots before you make a deal on one, and you might BS one guy that you're getting a better deal than the other. And that's exactly what he did. But eventually you go back to the lot where you get the best deal and the car you want. And the car he wants is right there in Ybor City. And I can't wait for it, man. It's going to be spectacular. And finally, the Rays can compete with – they'll never be the Yankees. They'll never be the Red Sox as far as money. But maybe a Toronto-esque type of budget where they could maybe spend $100 million a year. So every single player, like a Darno who came here and just lit the town on fire and lit the team to the playoffs, they'd let him go because he wanted $8 million. I got a newsflash for you. A backup catcher on most teams is $8 million. If $8 million is going to break your budget, you got real problems, Stu. So, and again, now I see they're trying to get rid of Tommy Pham, another guy coming up on $10 million. It boggles my mind. It boggles my mind, but like I said, they, of any team, I'd say any, they've kind of transfixed the way that baseball is run. It's run by young guys who have no baseball on-field experience. Their only experience is a calculator, a pen, and a paper, and it works. Look at the Cubs. Look at the Dodgers. Look at the Red Sox. They're all run by guys out of the Rays system, young guys who can grind it out on paper. I try to equate it to football, but I don't know if that would work in football on such a level. Who knows? It wouldn't hurt, would it? Get a couple of those Rays brainiacs over there at Bucks Central 101 and put them to work with a slide ruler. See what we could do heading into next season.
All right. Speaking of, go ahead, just switching it over to the Rays. What are you expecting for next year?
I say they go 162-0. Kevin Cash. No, I think they're going to be gritty. I think they're going to scratch out wins. Nobody had them going to the playoffs last year. I know I didn't. I know they looked good going into the year before season's end. I had Cash fired year before last until he turned things around. And quite honestly, I was done with the whole situation. I was so disgusted with the – I mean, they didn't just dump salary. They purged it at the beginning of 2017, or should I say it was 2018, when they were getting rid of anybody who was making more than $500 a month. I mean, it was an embarrassment. And the national media, I have articles out of New York, out of USA Today, saying Tampa Bay should relinquish the franchise. They should be they're what's wrong with baseball. They're an abomination. And now the same newspaper says what the Rays have done is amazing, and it's the new way that baseball is going to be run by using not necessarily Moneyball, but to a certain extent, Moneyball. I mean, they grind out what they get for what they pay for every single man on the roster. And Kevin Cash, Kevin Cash ought to get a lawyer. I know it's just a stupid award that doesn't mean anything other than a plaque on the shelf, but how he didn't win the Manager of the Year in the American League, and not only didn't win it, he finished behind Brett Boone. You or I could manage the $300 million Yankees. How did he deal with the injured outfield? Well, they just went out and got Encarnacion, the home run leader, just to fill in. So that would boggle my mind. I don't know how the hell got jogged for Manager of the Year. And then he finished third. I thought that was just adding injury to insult, but those awards
go on to that point. There's no way Charlie Morton should have finished third, and there's no way Brandon Lau should have finished third.
You're exactly right. And
why nominate any of the Rays players if you're not going to give them the award, or at least give them a chance?
You're exactly right. Morton had an unbelievable season.
He did, and it's like as soon as they announced it, it's going to be Charlie Morton, Justin Verlander, Garrett Cole. Oh, it looks like you want to jump on Houston's dick and give them an award automatically.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Garrett, he had an unbelievable season in Houston, and he probably
don't get me wrong. Both of them have it. They both had very good pitching years. It's just when you see Charlie Morton have a product who came from Houston and was part of that, and then all of them were all a part of Detroit's World Series team that should have went and didn't. But
what could have been with that Rays team? I mean, the deal they got. You got to hand it to every move they make. I no longer question it, because to trade Chris Archer, who I liked, I thought he was a good kid. I thought he was a good pitcher. But to get Austin Meadows, a guy who was well on pace for Rookie of the Year until he got hurt, and to get a starting pitcher who was on a pace to get the have a Cy Young-like season in Glasgow. It was a shame when he went down. I really thought if he could have stayed healthy with Morton, they would have really went a lot farther than they did this year. And, well, truth be told, they still got into the playoffs. God bless them. If they get Glasgow to stay healthy all next year, now here we go with the same game. When Glasgow wants a new deal, you know he's going to go to New York, Boston, Chicago, or L.A. And if they can keep Morton, I know they locked him in, but he's going to go to arbitration and get one hell of a raise over the $10 million they're paying him now. And, well, in Tampa, $10 million is a dirty word. I mean, they kept Longo. They locked in Longoria to a long-term deal, and the second he hit $17 million, they pulled the pin, albeit geniusly. He's done nothing, if you ask me, since he left the Rays. Name a Ray besides David Price, and who was a relief pitcher, won a World Series in Kansas City there.
Fernando, you know, whatever his name is, he went to
Fernando Rodney, who continues to still pull a paycheck. I'm talking about, regardless, James Shields had a good year for the Padres and the Royals the year they went to the World Series. But besides David Price, you really can't point to me. How was B.J. Upton's run in Atlanta? I'll tell you how it was.
It was pretty decent
that year. He hit 180 and was cut later that season. He made it maybe 2 weeks into the second year of his contract. They just released him. So, the Rays know when to get rid of somebody.
Yeah. Pretty much.
There's no question about that. So I will let those young brainiacs with their slide rulers and their pencil protectors and their shirts, they've got my full endorsement. Go about your business, and for that matter, send them to the negotiation table with City of Tampa and Ybor City, and let them get the stadium deal done. They'll start shoveling out and clearing land tonight. I'll meet you down there with a shovel. We'll start tonight, buddy.
All right, bud. All right, well, Ozzy, we'll go ahead and let you go, man. Go ahead and tell everybody how they can get a hold of you and how they can listen to your podcast and stuff.
All right, well, you can check me out at, obviously, the hottest thing I got going right now is the Joe Buck Fan podcast with the football season going. So go to joebuckfan.com. I'm on there generally twice a week. Or you can go to ozzythesportsjunkie.com. All my shows are on there. You can see a little bit about my past, some salacious things that I've done in the past that I'm pretty proud of. You can go to Spotify, Google, iTunes, whatever your choice is. And whatever I do is, if it's not live, it's recorded and you can listen to it when you want. And it's a crazy world we live in. You know, I worked in terrestrial radio for 25 years and I could see it, man. I could see it happening. The minute that the station, little AM station I was on, started streaming on the internet, I'd look up and I'd see 1,200. I'd see 10,000. I'd see 15,000. I'd see tenfold of people who were listening online than listening to their little radios. Because let's face it, forever and a day, once you got home from work and turned your car off, your radio day was over. Except if you're a geek like me, a sports junkie, if you will, I turn the radio on inside the house, which no one has a radio. They've done studies, man. It's almost laughable. Less than 2% of Americans own a AM/FM radio in their home. Less than 50 even listen to it in their car anymore. So what you and I are doing right here has the potential to reach way more people than if we were at $1 million, 100,000-watt station somewhere. So it's a crazy time we live in. I say take advantage of it because guarantee you, 5 years from now, Uncle Sam's going to figure out a way where you're going to have some kind of goofy license to broadcast on the internet. Mark my words. I guarantee it's coming. You watch. So get out there and scream till you lose your voice while you still can, while it's free, because they'll always find a way. If they're losing money with terrestrial radio, they'll make it up by charging the little guy who wants to get heard. And that's the beauty of it is, well, not to get screwed by Uncle Sam, the beauty of it is if you want to be heard like yourself, like myself, there's an avenue. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to go grind it out and sweep floors at a radio station for the chance that maybe you could read the traffic. You get on the air right now and you can say what you want, when you want, to whoever you want. And that's the plus side of the era that we live in, because let's face it, everybody's got a phone and everybody does everything through their phone. They listen to the radio through their phone. So what the hell's the difference if you're on 106.7 The Eagle or if you're on OzzyTheSportsJunkie.com? Same amount of people. Easiest way to get to. So
yeah.
I'll get off my soapbox.
Yeah,
vote for me
right
on November 2nd.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for taking your time out of your afternoon, man. And
hey, it's my pleasure, buddy. And good luck with everything that you do. And I'll return the favor and have you on my airwaves coming up here shortly.
Yeah, not a problem. And just, all right. Well, thank you guys for listening. Check it out. Like, rate, subscribe, all that good shit. Make sure you find out team813.com, and we will catch you on the next episode.